another reason why you need to call your United States Senator today on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is my Vice Chairman and co-host and fellow analyst, Chuck Michaels.
It's good to be here, Barry, and this is a little bit of a serious topic, so we won't cut up too much here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about Senate 1867, the National Defense Authorization Act. Sounds great, doesn't it? But the devil, as they say, is definitely in the details of this particular piece of legislation. Yesterday's program, we talked about how one section of it, Section 1031, would repeal a long-standing law in the United States called the Posse Comitatus Act, which would prevent the government from utilizing the United States military forces as a police force on American soil to arrest and detain American citizens. Now, Chuck, one thing we didn't mention yesterday is the fact that this would be up to the discretion of the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, solely on when, how, and in what way to use the military to handle domestic law enforcement.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, once again, this is a place where the Congress is handing over power to the executive branch that belongs, in fact, to Congress.
Absolutely.
Now, Article 2 is very clear that the only body that can suspend the writ of habeas corpus is the Congress. A lot of people will puff up their chest and say, well, you know, it's been done in the past. Abraham Lincoln did it during the war between the states.
It was unconstitutional then, and it's unconstitutional now.
Yeah, and basically what the House and the Senate had to go through was, after he'd already done it, then they passed a bill authorizing him to do so. Well, that's an ex post facto law.
And they can't do that either.
Which they can't do either. That was a particularly lawless period in our history, and we're not talking about the South here. We're talking about the North.
Well,
A lot of things were done.
And before we refight the war between the states.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to put in a plug. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why you need to know your U.S. Constitution. You need to know why it defends your individual liberties and why it puts limitations on your elected officials. And that's why we teach Institute on the Constitution, a 12-week course that will be starting back up again at the beginning of the year. You can visit our website at principlepolicy.com to find out when, where, and how you can sign up to learn more about our history and our Constitution and how to use it to defend your liberty. Sorry, shameless plug there. But
Chuck, please.
You mentioned the writ of habeas corpus. Now, let's explain that just in brief for our listeners who may not have had this in their high school civics course.
Well, a writ of habeas corpus is used in cases where someone is arrested and basically tucked into a back corner of a jail. No charges are necessarily filed and no bail is provided. And sometimes these people just sit there, which is exactly what was done in these cases in the Civil War that we're talking about. And what normally happens is an attorney finds out about it and goes and files with a judge what's called a writ of habeas corpus, which means give me the body.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, once it's served, there's a certain amount of time, and that person has to be either charged or released. Generally, it's for a release.
Now, under this National Defense Authorization Act, Senate 1867, Chuck, the way I read it, it would allow the president, through the military, to suspend the writ of habeas corpus.
Well, yeah. Again, as we've said, Article 2 is very clear. Only Congress can suspend the writ of habeas corpus, and only then in very special circumstances.
Well, and the point is, I think what's happening is Congress has done, or some of our senators, I should say, and that's the reason why we're focusing on the Senate, because the House passed a House companion piece to this back in May of this year by the vote of 322-96. Now, everybody's in favor of defense, and everybody's in favor of protecting American interests. But the point is that we're going to give up most of our fundamental security and liberties in this country from a runaway tyrannical domestic government if this bill passes. And Chuck,
okay.
I want to quote to you real quick. One senator, and he said this almost giddily, okay? It's Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, who basically said that this bill would basically say in law for the first time that the homeland is part of the battlefield. And so that's how they're trying to get around the writ of habeas corpus and having a basically an unlimited ability to detain people without charging them or without providing bail for them by using the military.
That all sounds very useful, except when you think in terms of, okay, let's suddenly decide that the government decides that anyone who has ever voted for a certain third party in the past is suddenly a terrorist.
How about the Department of Justice who do analyses and say that anybody who is a believer in religion or yes. who supports certain candidates or who is involved in certain activities such as, oh, I don't know, Chuck, maybe teaching a Constitution class may be considered a threat to the safety of the country.
Well, not to sound paranoid, I'm sure we're on a list someplace, considering our activities. That is the exact point. What happens when the definition of terrorism, which is already very poorly defined, becomes even more poorly defined, and suddenly a terrorist is anyone who fits a certain FBI or Justice Department profile? And that is the direction that we are heading. What we need to emphasize is exactly what rights are being surrendered by doing nothing to stop this bill. We're surrendering, we've already talked about habeas corpus and the Posse Comitatus Act, but let's talk about some of the other things it does. It violates the Fourth Amendment, the guarantee against the right of people to be secure in their persons, papers, houses, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. The Patriot Act has already taken care of that. This is a mere extension of the Patriot Act and now using the military as a police force to get it done. Article 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on the presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land, naval forces, or in the militia when in the actual service in time of war or public danger. The fact is that none of us are members of the military or the militia, so we have the right to expect that if we're going to be accused of a crime and detained, that our case will be presented to a grand jury. But not under this. This completely wipes out that Fifth Amendment freedom. We can be detained, sent off to Guantanamo Bay, and kept indefinitely, and too bad. Nothing you can do about it. No writ of habeas corpus anymore, so your attorney can't go file a suit and file for a writ and get a judge to sign it and get you out. Article 6. This is Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. We won't go over the rest of it. You get the gist of it there. The fact is that if any trials take place at Guantanamo, it's already been determined it will be a military tribunal. So no longer do you have the right to trial by jury. You will be tried by a military tribunal, even though you are an American citizen and have these rights in the Bill of Rights. Those rights will be wiped out by this act. Article 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of the trial by jury shall be preserved. Okay, it's not really a common lawsuit, but again, you can't sue for this, and you will be denied a trial by jury. So it's not strictly speaking the same thing, but it really is. Article 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. I'd say an infinitely high bail, in other words, no bail, is an unreasonable bail.
Absolutely.
You do not have the right to bail anymore, which is a direct violation of the Eighth Amendment. And it certainly is a cruel and unusual punishment in that all these rights are laid out in the Constitution, in the body of the Constitution itself, and therefore it's unusual that you would not get them. Now, you may think that some people may think that's a stretch. It isn't. That is what we face with this monstrosity of a bill that's designed to help the Army build buildings and brick and mortar projects on Army forts.
Yeah, well, and Chuck, the big problem, and I want to let folks know, Tuesday evening, the United States Senate defeated a motion to strip this bill of those provisions that would, as we said, remove the Posse Comitatus Act and suspend the writ of habeas corpus. There was a motion made to remove those portions from the bill. That motion was defeated by our United States senators by a vote of 61 to 37.
And okay, basically not quite two-thirds, but almost two-thirds of the senators of the United States of America who have no basic grasp of the United States Constitution. Now, those of you who are paying attention, that shouldn't be too much of a surprise. How many of these people have presidential aspirations? For instance, John McCain, the author of this bill, ran for president in 2008 and was defeated by Barack Obama, another senator of the United States who had no clue what was in the United States Constitution. This is what we're letting ourselves in for, folks. This is not a pretty picture. We have good people in the Senate, but they're few and far between. And I can tell you that Carl Levin, John McCain, Lindsey Graham are not among them, nor are the other 61 who voted for this thing. This thing has been pushed as something that if you aren't for it, you're not patriotic. I'm tired of that particular brand of rhetoric. It really is time to rein these guys in and say, you show me how it's not patriotic to be in favor of the enforcement of the United States Constitution. You know, there's an old saying that better 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man be convicted. Well, that seems to be out the window. It's better that 100 innocent men be convicted than one guilty man go free. That's justice turned on its head.
That's exactly right. And that's the reason why we're asking listeners to call your United States senators here in Ohio, Senator Rob Portman, who's a Republican, and Senator Sherrod Brown, who's a Democrat. And we're going to find out how those two voted on this particular repeal of this section as soon as we can here and bring it to you. But that is where we need you to call them. And Chuck, would you give them the Senate switchboard number again?
I sure will. And I'm going to repeat it twice. So I'll repeat it slowly. 202-224-3121. Again, that's 202-224-3121. Now, that is the switchboard of the United States Senate. When the operator asks you, you tell them you either want to talk to Sherrod Brown or Rob Portman. And when you're done talking to either one of them, call them back or ask the operator, ask them to patch you back through to the operator and ask to speak to the other one. These two men do not share an office like when we normally they share duties when there are two senators from the same party. These two are from two different parties and they do not share offices and they will not, probably not even work very well together. So you need to talk to both offices.
That's exactly right. And what you need to send the message is that they need to oppose Senate Bill 1867 and vote down in its current form the National Defense Authorization Act. And you're probably going to get a lot of flack from their offices or pushback that, oh, well, we need to spend for defense. But the point is, a little temporary security is never a good trade-off for the permanent loss of our constitutionally guaranteed liberties.
Well, it's a very interesting development, and Barry and I have sort of discussed this in analysis. The president has said he very well could veto this bill. We have an opinion about what that's about. We won't go into that now because it's kind of convoluted. But the fact is, sitting around and hoping that the president will veto it is a really bad strategy. We need to kill this thing at the Senate level. It needs to go back and be rebuilt without these provisions in it, these horrible constitution, basically putting the Constitution in a blender and completely macerating it so that there's no substance left. This needs to be completely rewritten. And frankly, Levin and McCain need to be censured.
Absolutely. And folks, again, this is a situation where we need to step up and understand that true patriotism is standing up for those ancient boundaries. Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your forefathers have set. And our founding forefathers have set a very strong benchmark and landmark with the United States Constitution to protect each one of us from tyranny. The tyranny of King George, and now the tyranny of a runaway Congress handing over your liberties to the executive branch or to the military in exchange for a little temporary security. Folks, we need your help to do this. Please call today.
Join us tomorrow on Principles and Policies.